Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And then you can follow along as I read the first psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, please, your help tonight as we go through the scriptures, and Lord, as we become, I think, aware tonight of the importance of Bible meditation, the importance of our thinking time, the discipline that we ought to be exercising to make sure, Lord, that our mind is stayed on you and on your ways and on your word. And so, Lord, as we study the Bible tonight, I pray that you would encourage us, challenge us, Lord, in this area. May this be something that we not just learn tonight and see from the scriptures, but that we begin to implement in the days ahead. Tomorrow, we would challenge ourselves, Lord, to have our minds stayed on the right things. And so help us, we pray, as we study the scripture together in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've mentioned this several times of late, and I felt like these Wednesday night Bible studies that we are focusing on the Word of God, that before we left this subject, I felt as if the Lord would want me to spend an entire Wednesday night teaching on the subject of meditation, of Bible meditation. And it's probably the aspect of our relationship with the Bible that's least emphasized and least spoken about, and maybe even exhorted from the pulpit. We hear a lot about the importance of reading the Bible, and of course we should read the Bible. And then the importance of memorization, and my goodness, we could spend some time on that. A lot the Bible has to say about the advantages of memorizing the Bible. But there are unique promises connected with meditation on the Scriptures. Now, if you'll look right up here, let me have your mind for just a second. I will tell you this. The area in which I believe in this generation we are the least disciplined, it is in the matter of our thinking and the disciplining of our thinking. It is a very dangerous thing in this culture just to let your mind drift, let your mind wander. We call them daydreams, but oftentimes daydreams turn into nightmares. And you shouldn't let your mind just wander. You know, it's interesting, David, as you do a study on this entire subject of the mind and the thoughts, but David declared that he hated vain thoughts. Vain thoughts do I hate, he said. And that meant that from time to time, vain just simply means undisciplined, unproductive. He caught himself daydreaming from time to time, his mind just wandering aimlessly. And when he would catch himself doing that, he hated the fact that he had allowed himself to become undisciplined for that period of time, that his mind was not stayed on something that would be productive. We are, I'm afraid, raising a generation, and it's not just y'all young people, it was my generation too, a generation that just do not spend much time in meaningful thought. I'm doing a little bit of study because I'm trying to figure out something on some things that we're dealing with and that we see that I hear everybody talking about, but nobody coming up with much solution on. But it's interesting that David said this subject of meditation, he uses the term sometimes the musing. He said, while I was musing, the fire burned. And it's interesting, this generation, this apathy that's taken over a generation, where there's no passion, it seems, about anything. There's no fire that burns. Isn't it interesting that the Bible's connecting the fire that burns within your heart and your soul to the musing? And if there is no musing, there is no meditation, there is no time spent thinking valiant and noble and honorable thoughts, then there's probably not going to be much burning in your soul, passion in your soul. If you think about the right things, you're going to burn in the right way. And so I think there's a connection there. Some other things I'm putting together on that. I think, watch this, it's not true of everybody, but I think the devil's been pretty good about turning an entire nation, turning us into a bunch of mental dullards. Okay. When's the last time you had a deep thought? When's the last time you meditated your way to some place where the Lord enlightened you about something as you've never seen it before? We are so preoccupied with the technology. And I'm going to keep saying stuff about technology. Don't become a slave to technology. Don't become a slave to technology. I mean it. If some of you would answer and respond to God as quickly as you do your cell phone, we could have revival. Don't become a slave to technology. Okay? It's a tool, like any tool. If you use it correctly and you keep it in its proper place, and it is a servant instead of a master, then it can be used for some good things. But you shouldn't let it become a controlling factor in your life. Okay, if you found yourself and you're at the place now where you're spending hour upon hour upon hour on the computer, shame on you. Look right up here. Shame on you. I'm not talking about if that's your job. I'm just talking about wasting time, just wandering around, just checking this social network. Let's see if I can find out something about this person. What have you become? Think about it. What have you become? And so be very careful that this technology, but one of the things that's it's taken away from us, it's taken away our thinking time. People get in the car, they got to have the radio on, or they got to get a cell phone stuck in their ear. Whatever happened to just being quiet? Whatever happened to just thinking? Walk in the house, we got to flip the TV on right away, got to get the TV on. Even if we're not going to watch it, we just need that noise going on. Whatever happened to thinking time? Let me challenge you concerning learning to meditate. And let's explain what it is, and then let's look what the Bible says that we ought to meditate about, and then let's take a look at some of the rewards, promises connected with meditation. You ready? Let's get into this. If you go to define meditation or to meditate, you'll find that there are three different words that are translated into either meditate or meditation. One of them means to murmur or to ponder, to imagine, to meditate, to speak, to study, to utter. The second one I really like, it means to ponder or converse with oneself, hence aloud. That always helps me feel like maybe I'm not as crazy as I think I might be sometimes. I talk to myself. I don't just muse and meditate. I discuss things with myself quite often. And so thank God for this allowance in the Scriptures for that. To commune, to declare, to meditate, to muse, to pray, to speak, to talk within. I like that. The other word is translated to take care. And by amplification, what it means to take care is to take a study of, to revolve in the mind, to imagine, to meditate. And so it's talking about taking some time to ponder. I like that word. That's a Bible word, to ponder. Mary pondered these things in her heart, the Bible said, about that young Jewish girl. And so she was a one that took time to muse, to meditate. Now, we ought to take some time to think. We ought to take some time to muse. We ought to take some time to meditate. The Bible doesn't say we ought to just think about anything. There's three specific things that are encouraged for us to meditate upon, and most all of these were written in the Psalms by David, a man after God's own heart. So we ought to pay attention to this. There's three things that the Bible encourages us to meditate upon: the person of God, the works of God, and the Word of God. In Psalm chapter 63, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. The thee he's speaking of God, the person of God. Psalm 104, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. So I think it's a very good thing to spend some time just meditating on the person of God. It's very important that you think about who God is. Brother Comfort gave us a great outline on the character and the person of God in the Sunday morning message before he shared briefly his testimony. You should understand God. You should meditate on the holiness of God. You should meditate on the justness of God. You should meditate on the love of God. You should meditate on the person of God. Who is he? On his mercy and on his grace. You should meditate upon God. Number two, the works of God. David wrote in Psalm 77, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Not just who God is, but what he's done. Psalm 143:5, I will remember the days of old. I will meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. So sometimes we would muse upon the things that we know that God has done that shared with us in the scriptures. He says, I will muse on the work of thy hands. Sometimes it's good to meditate on the creation that God has created. And what a great God and what wonderful things he has done. Sometimes we ought to just stop from time to time and meditate on the workings of God in our own life. You know, during those times of discouragement, and sometimes when we begin to doubt, maybe our faith begins to shrink, to get small, we can review and remember the wonderful times that God has shown himself mighty on our behalf, the things that he has done in our lives, the valleys he's seen us through, the strength that he's given, the miraculous provision at times when we did not know where the next thing was going to come. And so it's good for us. Now, folks, look right up here. I hope you've already mastered a little bit of the discipline of the mind to be staying with me right now. We spend too much time on stinking thinking. We spend too much time on stinking thinking. Are you getting this? I'm talking about tomorrow, if you would decide to, and if you would ask God to help discipline and give you the discipline to do it, and you would exercise the discipline and punish yourself when you find yourself not doing it. You could spend the day, if you wanted to, musing and meditating on the person of God. You could find yourself musing and meditating on the works of God. But the thing that we are encouraged most often in Scripture to meditate on is the Word of God. We read in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That but follows verse number 1, where it warns us against being involved in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. Many, many times, Christians, if we're not careful, we find our minds occupied in those unsavory, ungodly mental activities instead of delighting in the law of the Lord. But his law is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts, David wrote. Psalm 119:23, thy servant will meditate in thy statutes. The same chapter, verse 78, I will meditate in thy precepts. And then verse 97, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119:99, thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. And so much blessing and advantage can come to you in your life if you will simply discipline yourself to meditate on the word of God. I mentioned this the other day. For those of you who have not begun to just have morning devotions, I would encourage you to do that. But for some of you who are doing that, don't let the Word of God be limited to a 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 minute impact in your life and in your day. The Word of God is so much more important than that. And so I would encourage you, as you are studying the Scriptures or reading the Bible in the morning, as you're having your morning devotions, to maybe take a little time to jot down a few verses, Stick them in your pocket somewhere. I mentioned this the other day. Pull them out from time to time. I don't know about you, but it seems like everywhere I go, I got to stand in line somewhere, or I get stuck in traffic. And what are you going to think about today? Hey, listen, tomorrow, what are you going to think about? Do you have any kind of plan? Are you just going to get up in the morning, take 5 minutes, read the Bible, and go out and just start driving down the road? And just, are you going to let billboards decide what you're going to think about? I mean, do you have any kind of plan? Is your mind just a wild dog wandering through the wilderness, just wherever it chooses to go that day, it goes? Or is there a plan concerning what you're going to think about? Now, if you think about the right things, you know, think about this. God designed us in a pretty spectacular way, and He designed our minds so that we can't fully concentrate on more than one thing at a time. You may be able to multitask, but you can't multi-think. And that's the honest truth. If you will think whatever you're thinking about, you're thinking about. Somebody came to my office one time and said, "Pastor, I'm really having a battle with wrong kind of thoughts. Do you have any advice for that?" I said, "Yes, here it is. Think the right kind of thoughts." You know, we all think there's some secret formula, or we want to walk around in full surrender like, well, we can't help it, and I'm sure everybody else is in the same mess. No, it's very simple. You know, you think on these things. Didn't Paul list them in Philippians chapter 4? If you think on, I'm thinking of bad thoughts. Here you go. Think a good thought. Well, what about this bad thought? Well, if you think the good thought, you're not thinking the bad thought. Well, I like it when we get real deep into the Scripture, you know, into this deep stuff, you know. I just have sad thoughts. Well, here's a cure for that. Think a happy thought. Well, that won't work. Well, it won't if you won't do it. It won't if you're just determined to be sad. It won't if you just want to walk around looking defeated all the time. Then, yeah, you're right. It won't work. But if you do it, it will work. You see, you've got to decide. You've got to decide where your mind is going to be, not your mind just turn loose and wander wherever it chooses to go. And so come up with a plan. Meditate on the Scriptures. Now, the Bible not only tells us what to meditate upon, it tells us when to meditate. Now, here's the challenge. Joshua 1:8 says, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Psalm 1:2, "And in thy law doth he meditate day and night." I like, as I mentioned a minute ago, 1 Timothy 4:15, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them." David mentioned that he meditated not only day and night, but especially in the night watches. Psalm 63:6, "When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches." Psalm 119:148, "Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word." Other places we see the exhortation to meditate all the day. Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day." And so what the Bible's plainly teaching us is there's never a bad time. It's always a good time to spend time meditating on the Word of God. You say, "Preacher, I wish I didn't have anything else to think about. I wish all I had to do was just walk around on fully concentrate on the Scriptures. But preacher, I've got a job and I've got tasks and there's things I got to think about." And let me say this, I know that God understands that, but I think that every single thing you do should be thought of in light of the Scriptures. In light of the Scriptures. And so allow the Scriptures to influence all of your thinking. All of your thinking. One more thing I want to point out here before we leave this point. The Bible teaches us when to meditate, day and night, night watches, all the day. But it's interesting that David also added this in Psalm 119. He said, "Especially meditate on the Scriptures when you are being attacked." Psalm 119, verse 23, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." Isn't that interesting? Princes, these are people with influence and authority, were murmuring against David, sitting and speaking against David. Ever had somebody do that to you? Ever had somebody attack you, attack your family, verbally attack you? You know how if you're not careful, all of a sudden everything that you think about for the rest of the day becomes that thing? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just takes over your life. Say, preacher, they shouldn't have said this. No, you're right. They shouldn't have said it, and you shouldn't let your mind stay on it and stay frustrated about it and go into bitterness about it, because the Bible says this is how you handle it. You know what you do? You say, well, God bless them. You bow your head and obey the scriptures that says to pray for them. And then you start meditating on the Word of God, and you let it go. Oh, preacher, I wish it was that easy. It is that easy. It is that easy. It is that easy. You just do it. You just do it. How about Psalm 119, verse 78? Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will hold a grudge and think evil thoughts about them and plan my revenge. Some of you, if you got paid by the hour for the time you've put into that, you'd be doing pretty good right now. Why are you wasting your life? Why are you wasting your time? Well, this will help you if you'll let it help you. No, David said this, the proud, let the proud be ashamed. They dealt perversely with me, without a cause. He said, you know what? They did me dirty. And you know what? They didn't have a reason to do it. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Now folks, listen to me. Listen to me. I want to help you here. Stop letting jerks ruin your day. Notice I paused there. There were so many. I don't know if that was the best one to choose or not. But it's just, I got it. It's the one I chose. Stop it. Honestly, stop it. You know, you got somebody that's either unsaved or a spiritual retard, and they come up and they say something stupid to you, and you're going to go into a 4 or 5 day funk over it. I'm not. No, I'm sorry, I'm not. You know, I'm not. I'm just, my life's too precious. Did I mention lately about how old I'm getting? My days are too numbered. Some of you will be so glad when this thing's over. You're so tired of hearing about it. But, I told a guy the other day, he said, well, what have you found that's changed at this time in your life? I said, I think the thing that I've found that's changed is I know that my life is getting shorter, and I'm not too interested in wasting time anymore. I just, you know what? I want what I invest in to mean something. And folks, let me tell you what is a waste of time. Sitting around, mad or angry, full of strife or depressed because somebody said something they shouldn't have said. Okay, a 4 or 5 second sentence sometimes costs you a week of your life, a week of your thinking time. Now, look right up here. Stop that. I mean it. Stop it. Well, they need to stop. I'm not justifying what they did. I'm saying you can't control what someone says, but you can control what you do about what someone says. And I'm not going to live my life that way. I'm not going to be drugged down into the gutter by everybody that just doesn't have the thought process to think to say the right thing. I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to say this to Pastor Jared because I know it'll get under my skin. No, it won't. No, it won't. I'm sorry, I got out of junior high a long time ago. No, it won't. You can say it, and I'll smile and think, retard. And then I'll meditate on thy precepts is what I'll think, you know. But I always smile while I'm thinking these thoughts. I try to be pleasant and whatever. Now, honestly, folks, you got to learn to deal with these things. This isn't a perfect world, and even good people sometimes say things that aren't the right things to say. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do with that? Walk around in utter bitterness and just let that tear your life apart? And oh my goodness! I'm not going to live that way. There's too many important things to do, and there's too many good things to think about for that to be allowed to just control my life and control my thinking. I'm just not going to do that. And so let me encourage you to obey the Bible there. When you are attacked, and people will at times, do those types of things. You just go on for the Lord. Now, the Bible teaches us why we should meditate. Now, let me give you this one, and then I'm going to get down into the promises. The Bible teaches us why we should meditate. Now, I'm not having you go to all the scriptures, but I'm quoting some of the same ones over and over. I read to you Joshua 1:8. And this is very important. Don't miss this. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, preacher, it's a good thing to meditate. And yes, you're right. I ought to keep my mind occupied on positive things. But that's not the primary reason that you meditate. It's not just to keep evil thoughts out. It's so that you can meditate on the scriptures, so that you can learn, observe to do. You see, all of the scriptures are trying to teach you a certain way to live, a certain way to think. What I just talked to you about a few seconds ago, you know what that was? That was the Bible teaching you how to handle a situation properly so you don't waste your life. Okay, so when you meditate or read those scriptures and meditate on them, you meditate so that you can observe to do. And then when those things happen, you do what you have meditated upon. You do what you have learned to do. So there's a reason that we're meditating on the scriptures. We're to meditate so that we can learn how we ought to live, how we ought to conduct ourselves, what we are to do, what we're not to do. We ought to meditate so that the Word of God can change our lives. 1 Timothy 4:15, I said this, notice this, meditate upon these things, and it says, give thyself wholly to them. So it's not just saying to meditate, and that's the end. No, the meditation is to lead you to then activating the truths of the scriptures and putting them into your life. Now, this is fun. If you get down this road and start doing this, I mean it. You're going to find it be a blessing. Instead of just having your morning devotions, just do what I say. Let me challenge you on this. Preacher, I'm not doing devotions. All right, let's start tomorrow morning. Let's just start from scratch. Tomorrow, I want you to read first three chapters of Proverbs. Okay, let's just read through the book of Proverbs. And why don't you try maybe taking on three chapters a day. I don't care if you do two. I don't care if you do five. I don't care if you do one. But I just picked three. Three chapters. Now, you're going to get up in the morning. You're going to get your Bible out. And you're going to say, you know what? I've been meaning to do this for a long time. Preacher's right. I think I'm going to sit down and I'm going to open up. He said Proverbs would be a good place to start. I'm going to read this first three chapters. And I'm going to take a little card, 3x5 card or piece of paper. And if I see anything, any portion of scripture that I'm just not sure about, I think, boy, that's good, or I need to spend more time thinking of that, then I'm going to jot it down and I'm going to keep it in my pocket. Now, you begin to do this, and then during the day, you meditate on it. Now, why are you meditating on it? You're meditating on it so that you can learn the truths behind those words, hidden in those words. The Holy Spirit can reveal to you some things that you will make you wiser in how you live your life. And before very long, you're going to be meditating on a verse. You're going to say, wow, man, that's good. You know what? That's telling me that when this happens, I'm supposed to do that. Wow, that's not what I usually do. But you know what? Now I know what to do. So then you live in anticipation of the next time that this certain thing is going to happen, because now you know how to handle it. So it happens to you, and it will, no matter what it is, it will happen to you in a timely manner. And then you'll say, all right, now I get to observe to do. So I'm going to do exactly what the Bible says. And then you do what the Bible says, and you know what you're going to figure out? It works. And then you're going to be more excited to get up the next day and get back into this book that teaches you how to live, to teach you how to respond to things, to teach you how to live successfully, to teach you how to be prosperous. Because the more that we conform to what the scriptures are teaching us, the more that we handle situations correctly, the more the blessings of God come, the prosperity of God comes into our life. And so it's an exciting way to live. I love the Bible. I do. I love the Bible. I love that little verse that David wrote, Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. You know what? Maybe that'd be the first good verse to put down on a card and just carry around with you. And say, God, I don't even know if I understand this. I don't know if I've ever experienced that ! Type of reaction to the Word of God. But boy, I'd sure like to. I'd like to be like David, that just in the middle of reading the Bible, just stop and just shout, oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. I wonder if the preacher's just making all this stuff up. Lord, I'm going to find out. I wonder what kind of a life would be lived if I just decided that I was going to integrate the scriptures into all of my thinking throughout the day, and I was going to meditate on it, and I was going to do it day after day after day. When I woke up at night, instead of laying in bed and worrying about whatever oftentimes I sit up and worry about, I think I'll just grab a hold of a verse or part of a verse or sneak into the living room and open the scriptures and just say, God, I'm just going to take another psalm and I'm just going to meditate on it. You woke me up in the night watches. Have you figured this out, folks? There's a reason that God wakes you up sometime in the night watches. Have you figured out there's a reason? I can't tell you how many times in the night watches God wouldn't let me sleep. In the night watches, He wanted me to use that wonderful quiet time while the rest of the world sleeps to sit down beside me and show me something He's never shown me before, or teach me something, or allow me to think of something that I never thought of before. What wonderful, wonderful time it is when you just decide that, you know what, the Word of God is important. It's going to be primary in my life, and I'm going to meditate upon it day and night. Now let's quickly look at the promises that are connected. I'm going to have you use your Bible more during this time. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, if you want to flip over there real quickly, we've quoted it several times. But I think that the Bible formula is plain here. If you study this matter of meditation, we're commanded to meditate. We're told why we are to meditate. We're to meditate to do. And then when we do, it leads to prosperity. Here's the formula: meditate, do, and prosper. Meditate, do, and prosper. Meditate, do, and prosper. We don't meditate, so we never get to the prospering. We meditate, but we don't do what we meditated on, so we never get to the prospering. We begin to follow the formula of meditating, doing according to all that is written therein, then all of a sudden, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Are you seeing the verse? And then thou shalt have good success. Then, there's two thens that are following this. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. When is the then? It's when you've meditated and then observed to do according to all that is written therein. Then you make your way prosperous. Then you have good success. I've quoted 1 Timothy 4:15. Let me just read the whole verse now. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So here's meditation. Then meditation is followed by the doing, giving yourself wholly to what you've meditated upon. Then guess what happens? God sees that, and your profiting begins to appear to all. So number one, the number one benefit from meditation is prosperity and success. Prosperity and success. Prosperity and success in whatever you put your hand to do in this life. Whatever God's called you to do. Now, over in Psalm chapter 1, let's go back there. And of course, there's some wonderful promises here concerning benefits from meditation. Number one, that we may prosper and be successful. Number two, that we might be spiritually strong, fruitful, healthy, and again, prosperous. Don't you love verse 2? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. This is that he. This is the meditator. This is the man that's delighting in the law of the Lord. This is the man that says, I think I'll get up tomorrow and I think I'll read the first three chapters. I think I'll not just be a hearer, but a doer of the word. I think I'll jot down some things. I think I'll pull them out of my pocket during my waiting times and my stuck in traffic times. And I'm going to not just think about it. I'm going to say, God, teach me what I need to learn from these things. Help me to do these things today. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's a whole sermon in here. You take yourself out of the desert, and you plant yourself by a river. And all of a sudden, that river begins to feed the tree, and it grows strong. That tree that was out there in the wilderness, just existing, just getting by from day to day, just clinging on to life. All of a sudden, this tree becomes fruitful. This tree becomes healthy. Look at the leaves. Do you see the leaves? Are they withering? No, the leaves no longer wither. The fruit begins to be born. And guess what? All of a sudden, a spiritual Midas touch is developed where it seems like anything God calls you to do, you begin to put your hands upon it. And it's not because it's magic. It's because you know the Bible principles. You know how to do it. You know how to do it scripturally. You know how to do it biblically. And God always blesses his word. And so when you begin to conduct your life based on Bible principles, not on how you feel, not on how the emotions that you have, not on how everybody else is doing it in the world, but all of a sudden you begin to implement scriptures in every single area of your life. And I dare you to find an area of your life where the Bible does not give you Bible principles to guide you and to give you wisdom and to help you to do things properly and decently and in order. All of a sudden things begin prosper in your life. Now, Psalm 49, go there, verse number 3. Psalm 49, verse number 3. So, what is the benefits of meditation, prosperity, and being successful? Spiritually, you begin to grow, become strong spiritually, fruitful, healthy. I'm talking about your spirit, folks. I'm talking about spiritually strong, fruitful, healthy, prosperous. We can't say these words without our materialistic minds. I'm not teaching a prosperity Christianity. I'm not saying if you meditate on the Bible and you do it 5 days in a row, and then somebody's going to send you a check for $10,000 and all this nonsense. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually strong, spiritually fruitful, spiritually healthy, spiritually prosperous. But I will say this, a lot of times our financial situation is based and on the fact that we failed to follow Bible principles. We did not let Bible principles guide us in previous financial decisions, and now we're trying to get ourselves out of a hole that we've dug that we would never be in. By the way, you can be upset and you can bemoan it and you can shake it, but you know what? That isn't going to fix anything. Best thing to do is start meditating on the scriptures. Best thing to do is every decision you make from now on, you make them according to scriptures, and you know what? You'll see that God begins to help you and bless you in that area of your life. Now, that we may have understanding, Psalm 49 and verse number 3. Notice this verse, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. And one of the benefits of meditation is that you begin to have your understanding developed. Let me read a couple more verses, then I'll comment on this. I have more understanding, Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Psalm 119:100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. And so here, meditation leads to a deepening of understanding. Boy, I wish I had a lot of time to teach this, and I don't. There's three steps. You know what? Knowledge comes first, then understanding, then wisdom. Knowledge is learning what to do. Wisdom is learning how to do it, but a lot of times we jump over understanding, which is understanding why we do it. And the more you meditate on the Bible, the more the what and the how, all of a sudden you begin to gain the why that holds the whole thing up. Some of you young people, you know why you grow up and you get to a certain age and you've been taught what to do? You've been trained how to do it? But because you don't have a meaningful relationship with the Bible, no matter, and listen, I'm not blaming mom, dad, or the church hogwash. You get to a certain age, you're supposed to get up out of your bed and get in the scriptures and meditate on the Word of God. You have no relationship with the Bible. You didn't have and don't have, haven't had to this point in most of your high school years, and you wonder why you struggle with understanding. Well, I just don't know why. You don't understand why because you won't get in the book. You won't do it. You'll talk to every knucklehead out there. You'll spout off what you think about everything, but you won't get in the book. You get in the book and you begin to meditate on it, and all of a sudden as you study the scriptures, it's like, huh, wow, that's good. So that's why we do that. So that's why we don't do that. Man, that's good. Thank God. Now, you young people, whether you understand the why or not yet, if your parents tell you what to do, you ought to do it. And if they train you how to do it, you ought to do it. But you know what? You're going to have to, one of these days, decide you're going to actually get into this Bible. And some things will be strengthened in your heart. You're going to develop some convictions, Bible convictions. And you're going to figure out that maybe Pastor Robert Ross wasn't as dumb as you thought he was all those years. He just lived in the book. He just lived in the book. Okay? So there you go. That we may have understanding. Your understanding is developed. Then another benefit, let me give you this one. Psalm 1:1, we'll go back to that, that we may keep our minds from destructive influences. I've already mentioned this, but one of the benefits of meditating on the right things is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And one of the benefits of learning and developing the discipline of meditating on the scriptures is it keeps your mind from destructive influences. You don't have time or the inclination to listen to the ungodly, to hang around sinners and listen to them spout off foolishness, sit in the seat of the scornful, someone who constantly wants to spitefully and verbally attack everything that's good and decent and godly. Your delight becomes in the law of the Lord, and if you do that, it'll protect you from those destructive influences. And then let me give you the last reason. What a great benefit. The last one is this, that we might experience joy and gladness. In Psalm 106, verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I shall be glad in the Lord. Isn't it interesting that right in the middle where we find the word meditation, it's surrounded by singing, it's surrounded by joy, it's surrounded by gladness. You see, what will happen? Oh, I want you to get this, and then we're going to close it down. Look right up here. Let me give it to you. What will happen as a benefit of this, as a byproduct of this, is that you're going to find out that you start singing and you don't even know why. I'm talking about just spend the next couple days. Just say, you know, I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna do it, and you're gonna find yourself singing. You're gonna find yourself humming. Not all these old folks around here are going crazy. Okay, they just learned a secret. Okay. Well, I also don't understand why he's so happy all the time. Come on in, the water's fine. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand it either. There's times that something happened, I think, I don't know why I'm not madder than I am. Why aren't I more upset than I am? I see everybody else losing it, I'm thinking, maybe I'll lose it. Maybe I'm... maybe there's something wrong with me. But I just think it's a byproduct. It's a byproduct. There's just something about the scriptures. This is a supernatural book. These are the words of Almighty God. They're divine. They're breathing. They're living. You just get involved with them and interact with them. You ever hear this phrase? Man, that guy's or that young lady's just got the touch of God on her. Let me tell you the honest truth about that. She or he just probably has the Word of God in her. You get the Word of God in you, you get the touch of God on you. Well, they're just so heavenly minded, I don't think they're of any earthly good. Dumbest statement I've ever heard in the history of mankind. I'm going to say what I always say. I have never met anyone so heavenly minded they were of no earthly good. But I have met thousands of Christians so earthly minded they're of no heavenly good. And so I don't know where that came from. But folks, don't worry. Preacher, I've even heard people say if you spend too much time thinking and reading the Bible, you can go crazy. It's true. It's true. It'll change you. It'll make this whole world not start making much sense at all. You know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Can we talk about Jesus in the Bible? Look full on his wonderful face, and the things of this earth, this world just grows strangely dim, and everything that everybody else is all up near about, and everybody's so preoccupied with, and yang, 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 all that stuff. And you just every once in a while come down and go, what is going on? Was everybody, what are they doing? Okay, whatever. And then you just go on up. You live on that higher plane. Come on now. Come on, come on. It's good up here. Come on, Blessed Hope. Let's get up here. Come on, let's get up here. Right now, if right now I could put a screen behind me and the majority of the subjects you've spent the last 48 hours talking about and thinking about were flashed on that screen, some of you'd be embarrassed to death. Shame on you. And it has nothing to do with those things. It has everything to do with your lack of discipline, your unwillingness to say, you know what, I am not going to get caught up in every little silly piece of drama that happens in this world. There's something better. There's a better way to live. There's more important things to think about. And so, just the gladness. But his delight, Psalm 1:2 said, is in the law of the Lord. Where do you get this delight? By meditation. Psalm 119:97 is, I've quoted it. Oh, how I love thy law. Where did that come from? It is my meditation all the day. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us as we try to learn this wonderful, wonderful secret. Lord, it's there for us. We read it. We read the promises sometimes like we're reading a fairy tale. And yet, the Bible's true. May we just learn to love the Word of God. Meditate on it day and night. Think about it. Muse upon it till the fire burns. Till the fire burns. Muse upon it till the fire burns. Wasn't it Jeremiah, Lord, that said that the Word was in his heart as a fire? As a fire burning. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to find the passion that is another byproduct, dear God, of just meditating on the Scriptures. That you would challenge us, Lord, to discipline our thinking. Help us to get away from those things that control our thinking, constantly pour pollution into our minds. Maybe we turn off what we need to turn off. Get rid of what we ought to get rid of. Help us to find, dear God, the pathway back to a more simple type of life. Where we just get up every morning and we love the Bible and we read it. And we take a portion of it with us throughout the day. We try to memorize some and we muse some and then we meditate some. Lord, as you teach us things, we say, dear God, thank you for teaching me that. I'm going to try that next time I'm faced with that. Thank you for giving me some wisdom today. And Lord, a bit here and a bit there, a piece here and a piece there, a lifetime of doing this. It's amazing, dear God, how we can begin to go through this life and face some pretty horrific things. And yet, because the Word of God has infiltrated our thinking, because it's become of supreme importance in our life, it seems like your sweet Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that we need to know, to do what we ought to do, to say what we ought to say, to be what we ought to be at the right times. What a blessing we become, dear God. Instead of a burden, what a blessing we become. Help us to be that blessing. I pray these things in Jesus' name.